You're listening to another great podcast in the MyMac Podcasting Network.
It's time for the Geeks Pub. I'm Tim Robertson, joined by David Cohen. Hello, David.
Hello.
Welcome to 2025. I don't think we've done a Geeks Pub this year yet, have we? Or did we?
Well, I can't remember.
I know, I can't remember.
I can barely remember what I did this morning.
So what I'm going to do is jump on mymac.com and scroll down a little bit. Why isn't the site responding? What the heck is going on?
Obviously, it's all the ads.
Yeah, because there's tons of them there. I want to make sure that my... It's not... No, there it goes. I don't know. It just wasn't responding. But it is now. Yeah, the last one we did was December 29th, so...
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. This is the new year.
It's a new year and everything is better.
Yeah, it's so much better. So much better. I can't stand up right now. It's so much better.
Yeah. To be honest with you, for me, it is better. I just finished watching Skeleton Crew and what's the first... decent Star Wars I've seen in a while.
Yeah, let's talk about that because it's in the show notes to discuss. So, Skeleton Crew, what is it? Eight episodes, I think.
Eight episodes,
about 40 minutes each ish. Although I think there was one that was longer. I think it's, and I think we kind of call this. It was Star Wars Goonies. Yes.
Well, it started like that. It was very much that that pattern, which. For anybody who, and there are plenty of people I'm sure listening who are not intimately familiar with the Goonies, this was a type that
anybody listening to this damn show knows who the Goonies are.
Well, I would hope so, but you never know. I mean, nothing.
15-year-olds are not listening to the show. Yeah. But the I mean, point we is, welcome is, them, but they're not.
Yeah, this is very much a throwback show, not so much in the content, but the style. This is the sort of thing you used to get all the time in the 80s. It was, you know. Spunky kids go on adventure.
Yes.
And this is that in the Star Wars universe. And what I truly loved about this is not only is it a great story with some great characters and some great performances in it, it's the sort of thing I've been looking for ages, which is Star Wars original. In the whole galaxy without being part of the big, deep, important major saga revolving around the Skywalkers and the Jedi and the Empire. This is like... What happens if you have places in the galaxy living through all of this? And what happens to the people in that? And how do they respond to it? And, you know, how does it affect them? And what goes on?
David's just excited because there was a talking owl. He's not fooling anybody. They had a talking owl. That's all he wanted. Awesome. When we're not actually hit the record button, he talks about talking owls all the time. Why don't we have talking owls outside
I felt that was an 80s throwback because if you remember...
I think that was 70s.
Lots of fantasy and sci-fi stuff in the 70s and 80s had cute talking birds in who were like, comic relief. And I saw that and thought, yeah, these guys know exactly what wavelength I'm on.
That's right. Talking owls.
That's right, yeah.
You know, it started out extremely strong.
Yeah.
I think that it would have been a better series if it would have been 5 episodes, not 8. I think there was... really 3 big episodes that just didn't progress, were pretty bad, to be honest, and was unnecessary. It's like, well, we have to have at least 8 episodes. 3 of them were fillers. But that being said, I really enjoyed the series. I think it was not very good, but better than good. So what's between good and very good? Decently good? That's what I would say.
I'd call it good. You know, I'd just say it was good.
And I don't think it was great. I think it was good.
Yeah, well, parts of it were great. I think not all of it was great, but parts of it were. And I think the more you're able to kind of suspend your disbelief and not worry about some of the plot, I think the better it is. But this is all tempered by the fact it obviously it is very much aimed at kids, even though you can enjoy it despite that. And I thought the kids' performances were really, really good in this.
I agree.
You know, they got better as the series went on. You know, at the beginning, like you something, oh, these are just whiny type things. But I think they got better. They really got better. And I thought the actress who played how would you describe it? Anyway, Fern, the kind of the tough, the one who wants to take the lead all the time. Yeah, I thought the way she developed her character over the course of the series was excellent. I mean, really, really good. That's an actress to watch. I thought she, for somebody so young, she was excellent.
I thought the elephant boy was really good.
He was really good.
Here's a question, though. Name one character.
Well, I can name them all. Fern, KB, Wim, the other one, Neil, the elephant boy, 33, Jod.
Very good.
Yeah, yeah. I've got the advantage that I literally just finished watching last episode before we, because I'd been watching it steadily, but the last couple of weeks I'd missed the final two, so I watched the other one the other day and then the final one this morning.
All right, I'm going to give you a better than or worse than. Okay, so we're going to use Skeleton Crew. Okay, yep. So I'm just going to give you a name and you tell me if it's better or worse.
Yep.
Ahsoka.
Better.
Tales of the Jedi.
Not watched it.
Tales of the Empire.
Not watched that either.
They're both good for what they are, but they're very forgettable. Solo.
Oh. It's not even the same galaxy. Much better.
The Acolyte.
Oh, better.
Clone Wars.
Not as good as the Clone Wars. Though, you know, the Clone Wars was up and down, but no, overall not as good as the Clone Wars.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I enjoyed it more than Obi-Wan Kenobi, but probably about the same level, I would say.
It has the same problem.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. They had a whole subplot in Obi-Wan Kenobi that was boring as hell and no one cared about. And yep. You just wanted to get back to, you know, because otherwise it was like, ugh. The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, better.
It's not even close, yeah.
Except for the Mandalorian only episode, which was not really part of the Book of Boba Fett.
No. They're like, oh, by the way, this is what you really want to see, and we're going to get that. There you go, Mandalorian.
It was nowhere near as good as season one of The Mandalorian. Bearing in mind this, The Mandalorian has descended in quality over... I would say it was probably slightly better than season three of The Mandalorian.
What's the other one? I could barely... Yeah.
That's the problem. What's the other one? Andor.
Yeah. Andor.
It's nowhere near as good as...
No.
I mean, Andor is virtually perfect.
It's so good.
Season one is... We'll see if they screw up season two, but season one...
It's the same. Perfect. It's the same. Plus, they're bringing in that droid, so I got to imagine season two is going to be... And we know it's only two seasons, because it ends where Rogue One starts, so...
But you know what? Andor made me feel... like this show did. Again, it was the same thing. It's like, let's take something, let's move completely, let's move outside of the main continuity and do something different.
Yes.
And that's one of the things I loved about Andor, and this is the same thing. And I don't understand. They could churn out loads of these types of shows, and, you know, some of them would be good, some of them wouldn't be good. But you know what? They'd always be interesting because there's something new.
Yeah.
Right? And that's really what I loved about this, is this was a completely new take on Star Wars. And to me, it made me feel like the original Star Wars made me feel. Because obviously, it's completely unrealistic that kids would, you know, over a couple of episodes, learn how to fly a starship and go around the galaxy and beat the pirates and all of this sort of thing. But it doesn't matter because it's escapism. And this was so much... even though there are big kind of, you know, there is... It's not mild peril in this. There is real peril. There's real danger. At several points during this, you think, oh, one of these kids could die. Yeah?
Do you think it would have been better if one of them would have died?
No, because we don't need that. Because the whole point is you need a bit of peril to keep the thing going. But obviously you don't want to see kids die. But TV, the sort of entertainment we used to be like this. It was a bit more lighthearted, a bit more fun. Yes, a bit more suspension of disbelief. But it was enjoyable for what it was. And, you know, everybody loves a story where the kids are the ones who save the day.
Got a couple more.
Yeah.
A couple more.
You thought of them all.
Well, I've got a list. The Bad Batch.
I don't really like The Bad Batch, I've got to be honest.
I love The Bad Batch. I thought it was great.
I don't really like it. It's just not for me.
But, it got better as the seasons went on.
Yeah.
Ewoks.
I'm not even going to answer that question.
Hey, that was a good animation show back in the day. We were starving for Star Wars back then.
Yeah, and as we got Ewoks and bloody holidays.
That's right. The Last Jedi.
The Last Jedi.
That's the one in the middle of the, yeah.
Which one is that? Is that the one with Projection Skywalker?
Yes.
Yeah. It was better than that.
Yeah,
that
was terrible. I agree. Yeah. What about The Force Awakens?
The Force Awakens was a retread of the first movie.
Yeah, but it's done really well.
It was done really well, but I don't think it holds up now because once you know what the trick is, it's just like, yeah, it's not so good.
Yeah. And the one that I forget that I watched until I saw the name, Star Wars Resistance. Yeah, there was good parts of it, but it's pretty bad.
Yeah.
It was like kind of like, we want to continue what we were doing in Rebels, but it wasn't.
Well, I thought Ahsoka was that.
I mean, in animation.
Right, okay. I think I might have started. Is Resistance the one where the guy goes, where the kid goes undercover as a pilot?
Yes.
Yeah, I've watched the beginning of it and then not watched the rest of it.
It was okay. I think I'm going to rewatch it now that I've remembered that the damn thing even exists. But
yeah, the thing is Rebels kind of felt a little bit like that when it started, and then it got really good. Mm-hmm. You had to stick with it. So,
problem with Rebels is they went so much into the Jedi lore when we just wanted some more action and actual Rebel stuff.
And this is what I loved about this. This is not everything you liked about Star Wars. It has the space battles, it has the fights, it has a smattering of the Jedi stuff, but not too much. Yeah? You know, and what I loved about this is they didn't do that thing, which they so often do nowadays, where the guy who you think is a bad guy through most of the thing turns out to be okay at the end.
They didn't do that.
They did not really. I mean, obviously, yeah, he resisted the urge to kill kids. You could tell, actually, that was a line he wasn't, even though he kept threatening to do it, it wasn't something he really wanted to do, but he was quite happy to kill other people. And at no point did he have, like, a redemptive moment.
Never.
Really. And
no, he was a greedy bastard right to the end.
Yeah, exactly. And
they didn't kill him off.
Yeah. You know, well, obviously they're leaving the door open. Let's face it, if you've got Jude Law on the payroll and he's committed to the project, you're not going to kill him off.
I've already heard there's not going to be a second season. Well, the ratings started tanking as it went on.
I'd be fine with that because I think things are better as a standalone story.
I agree.
And it becomes, you get the Die Hard 2 problem. If the same stuff happens to those kids again in the future, it's like, you know, how can the same crap happen to
The only thing I want to see is Jude Law come back. Versus Elephant Boy. That's I want that. Elephant Boy was awesome.
Elephant Boy was awesome.
He was awesome. I love that kid.
Yeah.
Yep. I'd adopt him. He's
got parents and a little brother who misses him very much.
Let's change gears and talk about a couple other things that just finished. And one of them is Creature Commandos. Did you watch this at all?
Not really, no.
So this is DC's Monsters Suicide Squad, basically.
It is, but this is kind of important because it's the
first proper
James Gunn project.
The DCU. Yeah. And you know what?
That's the problem. The problem with it, the reason I've not watched it is because I'm so bummed on the DCU at the moment, even with James Gunn coming along, that I just wasn't interested. Not interested enough to make the time to watch it.
There's each episode progresses the story, and the story's not that interesting, to be honest with you. But they show the origin of each one of these characters, and that is somewhat interesting. Usually when you get to the origin of characters, you're like, ugh, you just get on with the show. It got better when it got the origins.
Most of these superhero supervillains have the same origin story. It's just the variance, the details is, you know, ordinary person. Something weird happened to them, and they get powers. I mean,
this is a little bit different. I mean, you have the Bride of Frankenstein, who completely rejects Frankenstein, and that's a big thing of the show. You have G.I. Robot, who is somehow a robot in World War II, and his whole being is he wants to kill Nazis. That's it. He has nothing else beyond that. That's all he ever wants to do.
Oh, we could use that guy nowadays.
Yes. Actually, there's a part in the show that... that happened, yeah.
Right,
okay. On a score of 1 to 10, I would give it a solid 7.
Okay.
Maybe 6.5. I don't think it has any rewatchability, but I enjoyed watching it. So
okay, well, enjoyment is a plus nowadays.
Absolutely,
plenty of these things we grind our pack sites through.
We're hearing all these different rumors now about what's coming up with DC, and maybe they're going to make the Robert Pattinson Batman part of the DCU. That is going to be the Batman, which I really hope they don't, because he's Wuss Boy Batman. He's a wuss.
Well, I don't think it's even that.
It is that, because Ben Affleck's Batman would kick his ass in about 30 seconds.
Well, he's meant to be young Batman, and I think the problem I would have
He's weak chin Batman.
Well, right. You can give that if you want. But
no, he looks like he's going to cry every time he's in the Batman outfit looking around.
That's Robert Pattinson.
Emo Batman.
Emo Batman, definitely. But the point is...
It's the actor to me. I can't stand him.
Yeah, okay, fine. If you let me respond.
No.
I think the problem is if you're going to slot that Batman into a continuity of other superheroes, it's not going to work, because Batman is like the moody badass of that group. And as you just pointed out, Pattinson's Batman is not that yet. He maybe the weak chin and the wussiness is actually Pattinson's acting choice for a young Batman, and he would be able to adopt the correct persona.
No.
But I wouldn't buy it.
No.
And I think if you want to have something like the Justice League, you've got to have them, you know, you've got to have, they've got to have experience.
Batman's in Creature Commandos.
Experience and all of that, so.
Batman is in Creature Commandos.
Is he?
Well, he's a silhouette in a skyline, but yes, he's there.
Yep, that's a way of dodging the equity rules.
Do you think Superman, the upcoming movie, we're just a few months out now, and I hate to say this because it's the first, I don't care what they say about Creature Commandos, it's the beginning of the, we don't care. No. Do you think the future of the DCU rests 100% on the shoulders of a Superman movie?
Well, it does in the respect it's got to make good money, otherwise...
It's not just that, though. It's got to be entertaining. It's got to bring the fans back.
No, and to be honest with you, it could be lousy and it couldn't bring the fans back, but if it still makes good money, they won't care. I think that's been the problem with DC, and I think it's really broadly a problem in the whole entertainment industry at the moment. We talk about video games, we talk about movies, we talk about TV. It's the same thing. The whole business has become so infested with suits who only care about ratings and the bottom line. They don't give a damn about any of the other stuff. Some people will say it's always been like this. I think it's worse at the moment. If it makes good money, they will make more and more of them.
Yep.
no matter how bad creatively they are.
Until all we gotta do is look at money. Point at Sony and the Spider-Verse stuff that
exactly.
they've done. It's terrible.
That's what I mean. So it really doesn't matter whether you and I love it or hate it. As long as enough bums get on seats, then they will make another one, or they will continue on with the DCU project, whatever it is. So that's really what it comes down to. Now,
I think it's going to be a big hit. I really do.
Oh well, I hope so. I mean, they're clearly going in different directions, which I think is a plus, because
I mean, you have Superman's dog.
Yeah, you need to let creative people who are working on these stories do new things. And this is clearly going to do some new things. We'll see whether they're successful or not. But, you know, the problem, particularly with Superman, if you look at how Superman has been approached ever since the Christopher Reeve Superman, since those finished, effectively they've been retreading all that stuff. And that's been part of the problem with Superman in the movies is that people want to see something new. They don't want to see a Superman with a new cast.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to see origin in this movie at all.
No, exactly. That's what I mean. I think we're going to see something different. We're going to see him in clearly from the trailer we know we're going to see him in a continuity where there are other heroes.
Yeah, that's a difference, because in all the other Superman movies, he's the only hero. There is no other superheroes out there. And then you could say, well, wait a minute, when Cavill met Batman, so there was, and there's Wonder Woman and the Flash. Yes, but when he started, there was no other ones. At least they made it clear that no one ever heard of any other ones.
And then it turns out they with a retcon is the fact Batman did exist and was there during the fight in Metropolis for some reason. And, you know, that's why he hated Superman. And then you thought, well, why did people behave why were they so astonished when Superman was announced, when they already had
Wonder Woman
superheroes?
Yeah, they had Wonder Woman, they had Batman.
I mean, that's the problem. It doesn't make sense. And it's always the issue with these universe movies, is it's like, well, how come some of the super friends don't come and help out?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it never made any sense. That's what I was hoping for more of way back in the day when Netflix had the Marvel television series, that somebody would just show up in the middle of a season to help out with something because they're there. Where was this person during this? Where's Luke Cage? Where's Daredevil? Yeah. But never did. Isn't it kind of funny or maybe sad that one of the biggest movies of all time, Gladiator, Russell Crowe, they finally come out with the same director, with what looks like fantastic sets, great action pieces. Denzel Washington is in it, for God's sakes. Comes out with a new movie, and no one talks about it. No one cares. I don't know how good it did in the theaters, but it just came out on video streaming like a week ago, and there's nothing on it. Let's see what they made. Gladiator 2, gross. Let's see what it did. It did $454 million worldwide. Not quite a half a billion dollars, so it wasn't a failure. Well, I don't know.
Well, it wasn't. I imagine they spent more on it than that.
I would say
that's probably, in the way today's Hollywood works, I would say that's a flop. Because they'll have spent far more on that. They won't have made any money on that.
Well, I don't know.
What's the budget? $456 million worldwide. It was named one of the top 10 films of 2024 by the National Board of Review.
Yeah. The film was an absolute hit, grossing over $430 million during its theatrical run.
I don't think that classes as a real hit anymore. Because particularly with Ridley Scott behind it, I would imagine
$103 million was the budget. So even if they spent twice that on marketing, it still made over $200 million.
Yeah, but you know what's like nowadays. Hollywood expects you to make $1 billion, otherwise they don't count.
Is that it finally outgrossed the original movie? But yeah, but the population is so different now.
Not near that. The original movie's had
20 years. Yeah, it's.
I think the difficulty with it, I've not seen it. I saw the trailers and I looked at that and I thought, this just looks like a retread of the original.
That's what I thought. I watched the trailer and I was like, I feel like I've already seen this movie. And this is the guy's son. And
then when you stop and think about it, you think, well, how could it be anything other than that? Because the plot of the original movie is, things happen to set up a desire for revenge. And then other things happen to turn the lead character into a gladiator.
Yeah.
And then he fights in the arena and then he gets revenge.
Yes.
And those are, let's face it, we're not talking about War and Peace here. The original Gladiator was a good movie. I'm not dissing the original one at all.
But what I'm saying is the strength of that original is because of Russell Crowe. And I don't see anything in this that got my attention the way Russell Crowe would have.
I also think the original one was successful because that sort of movie had not been done in that genre before.
I would disagree with that greatly, but...
Not for a long time.
There you go.
You know, the Sword and Sandals epic had not been done for a long time.
Yeah, at that point it had been 25 years since anything like that had come out.
To combine that with not only a strong revenge storyline...
And realistic.
Tragic revenge storyline, but also the fact that, yes, it had some outstanding actors and an outstanding director delivering it. Just combined to make... Gladiator, a great movie, and you're absolutely right, the buzz around it when it came out was astonishing.
Yeah,
and I went to see it 3 times because I enjoyed it that much. This one is, you just, as I say, you just look at it and go, well, yeah, but there's no difference to the original movie. It looks exactly the same. We have a guy who gets forced to become a gladiator, and he uses his platform as a gladiator.
We assume, because we haven't seen it.
If the trailer's leading on that, then they've done the movie a disservice, because obviously if there's something else going on, they should let you know to stop you doing what we've just done, which is go, oh, this just looks like a 25-year-old remake of Gladiator.
Yes.
You know.
And they're like, it's higher grossing than the original. Well, how much were ticket prices back 20 exactly. years ago?
Yeah, you've got to allow $4? For inflation. Or that doesn't matter. There's a problem at the moment with Ridley Scott in that he keeps revisiting these things he's done before.
Well, he's 80 years old, man.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's fine. Look, he can do what he's Ridley Scott. He can do whatever he wants to do. But from the revisits I've seen of his previous material have never been as strong as the original.
No.
The Alien stuff he's done is not as strong as the original. It appears that this is not as strong as the original. It doesn't come across like that, and certainly didn't entice me to go to watch it. So that's the issue. Ridley Scott is a great director, and I love his standalone movies. And
should this be the end of the Gladiators, though? Not the genre, but this franchise, if you will.
Well, yeah, apparently he's developing a third one. And
why?
It's just like, why?
Stop it.
Why? It's the same. The problem is, whatever the actual plot is, you know, we may be completely off base here because it may be a fantastic movie. But whatever the actual
plot is. I have a feeling that it actually is really good.
Yeah.
But it just, yeah, I got a feeling that it's, I mean, you can't get some of these actors and not have a decent movie.
Yeah, but we've got the same thing. We've got a gladiator who's been forced to become a gladiator. We've got an evil Caesar. We've got kind of the evil Caesar's sister's family who are plotting against him one way or the other. We've got a slave owner who's got different motives. I mean, it's got all the same ingredients as the original one. And that's what came across in the trailer for me.
Yeah,
and that's
I agree.
What put me off. It's just like, I don't want to see this.
Yeah, I'm going to watch it maybe this weekend, maybe next weekend. I don't know, but I'm going to watch it just to see.
Here's the problem. Back in the day.
It's also two and a half hours, I think. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Well, back in the day, you would go to the movies because you wanted to do something. You wanted to go for a date, or you wanted a trip out, something like that. And you would go and go, oh, let's see what's on. Oh, well, I'm
2 hours and 28 minutes. Jesus.
Yeah. But you would go to the movies and you would pick a movie. And even if it was something you might not have heard of, or you might have heard of, or even sometimes you looked at it and thought, well, that looks a bit lousy, but I've got to get an hour and a half to kill. I'll go and see it. You would go and see it. Now, people have a choice. They go, well, that looks like rubbish. I'll wait for it to come free on streaming.
Yeah.
And I think that harms a lot of these movies that are not well marketed, not well sold, not good ideas necessarily, is the fact a lot of people go, oh, well, you know, I don't have to bother. So I'm the same as you. When it's on streaming, I'll probably sit down and watch it, but I'm not going to go and pay for it in the cinema.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. Here, there's a couple. Gladiator 2 is thrilling, but Paul Mescal is no Russell Crowe. No shit.
So, yeah.
Gladiator 2 review, a dreadful, pointless sequel that never should have been seen the light of the day. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But Pedro Pascal's in it. He's great. I love Pedro. He's Pedro. Awesome. Pedro.
He is awesome.
He is.
Yeah.
So let's move on. You know, I was listening. Well, you probably saw the Switch 2 thing come out.
I did.
I don't know what else we could contribute to it. I think we both agree we'll both buy one. It'll be a very good game system.
It's
bigger, which is good. We're older.
Yeah. I probably would wait for the... I like the Switch Lite, the handheld version. I have no interest in connecting it to a TV, so I'll probably wait for a light version of the Switch 2. But, it looks fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
You know the games are going to be fantastic.
Exactly.
They showed Mario Kart, which...
Yeah.
They haven't had an update to Mario Kart in forever.
Yeah. And it looks better. I don't think it looks... Well, the word I'm hearing is it's like the system on the chip is capable of like Xbox One, PS4 type quality.
But see, we don't care about graphics when it comes to the Switch.
What I was going to say is that's absolutely fine. It's an improvement on the original in terms of performance.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to see whether some of the older Switch games that runs a backwards compatibility, whether those run more smoothly. Because, you know, me, I personally also like on my handhelds to play first-person shooters. So I like to see those running on the Switch. So
I like third-person better. I think I'm more of a third-person guy. I like to see the whole character.
Fine. You know,
stuff like Zelda and GTA.
Yeah, but I'd like to see more of those games ported to the Switch. So because I think it's a very nice platform to play games on.
I agree.
Just generally. So... from that point of view, it's fine. I think Nintendo is doing absolutely the right thing here. The Switch has been such a success that they really don't want to mess too much with the formula, because why should you?
Oh, I think they did the right thing as well. Why would you come out with something totally bonkers, off the wall, different at this point? Why?
Well, every time they've done that in the past, it's not worked well for them, because they replaced the Wii, which was a similar hit to the Switch, with the Wii U, which was bonkers and didn't sell very well.
Right.
So, you know, I think they have hit on the right formula here. I think they've massively milked their existing platform.
Oh, yeah, they can't do anything more with the Switch.
Yeah, so but that's fine. I think an 8 to 10 year cycle for these, because obviously the old Switch...
Well, again, it depends on the games, because that's what sells the Switch. The Switch doesn't sell because it's the Switch. It sells because that's where you get Nintendo games. It's simple as that.
I think this, particularly if it's the same sort of price point, I think the Switch 2 will be a massive success. It will not only supplant new Nintendo players who are always coming through because they start them young. The games are attractive to younger kids than games on the PS5 and the Xbox, right? You know, kids will sit down from as young as 4 and 5 and play Mario Kart, and you're not going to put them in front of Call of Duty, are you? So, and also that's the other advantage Nintendo has. This is a console that appeals to whole families, so families buy it. So I suspect what will happen is, as soon as the next Zelda comes out and it's a Switch 2 exclusive, then loads of people will upgrade to the Switch 2 from the Switch, especially as they can say, oh, all those old games we have still run work on the new one. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it's going to sell gangbusters.
It's probably
review proof. It doesn't matter what the pros and cons of it are.
No.
It will sell gangbusters.
Well, if you look at CES, everybody seems to be coming out with a controller, screen, handheld, you know, thing. Yeah.
Or copying the Steam Deck.
Yeah. And it, for me, Nintendo's all about the games. Unless the system runs too hot, or the screen is crap, or the controls go bad real fast. Unless it's something like that, it's going to be a massive hit.
So, yeah, absolutely.
I was listening to your interview with Guy Searle on the My Mac podcast number 1001, talking about your history with the My Mac podcast. You were talking about Tech Fan and this show and how you got started and all that stuff. But part of the conversation, Guy started talking about the bracket. Yep. And I thought, maybe we do probably need to get back to that, but different this time. You know, I think there's so many movies that we could talk about when it comes to the geeky stuff and the superheroes and the television shows. We added that in the last time. But I started thinking about the things that you and I enjoy, which is obviously movies and video games and stuff like that. What if I'm thinking next episode, we start a new bracket, but this time we're going to start what's called decades. So the next bracket will be like 80s movies. The bracket after that will be 90s movies, 2000 movies.
Okay.
What do you think?
Yeah, I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I think it will allow us to introduce some different things.
We could start in the 70s, but I'm like, yeah, but you and I were both little kids in the 70s. So we need to start in the decade that we were actual moviegoers. I mean, the first movie I remember going to is Star Wars.
But Star Wars was 1977.
So right, I was 7 years old.
You can't have Star Wars.
Well, but you can Empire Strikes Back.
But you won't have Star Wars. Does Empire Strikes Back make sense without Star Wars?
Well, that's not the point, though. It's how much you enjoy the movie.
I think we're already getting into our arguments about whether that would hold up or not.
I don't think so.
I was desperately worried you were actually going to say, you know, we're going to try and rank the decades, which obviously would not be fair because we're always going to think the 80s is best.
That's when we started listening to music and, you know, our firsts were all the 80s, at least mine was.
Leanne still has exclusively 80s radio stations on in the car. That's all she ever listens to.
I listen to Sirius XM 80s channel quite a bit, but I listen to newer stuff sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, well, I do too, but I'm saying that's what she likes the absolute most, you know.
So I think that's the route to go, the 80s.
Okay.
That's where we'll start. Because you and I just didn't watch movies in the 70s. We didn't have that intimate connection to those movies. I'm not saying I haven't watched movies from the 70s. I've watched hundreds of movies from the 70s and the 60s and the 50s. But
how dare you? I was such a fan of Taxi Driver and Raging Bull in the 70s when I was
yes,
six.
When you're 6 years old. Yeah.
They were my go-tos, even though I had to sneak into the cinema.
The problem with a lot of them...
We didn't have video back
no.
then.
No. Well, look...
And they weren't on TV.
Jaws came out in the 70s, so that one misses out. But the problem with a lot of the movies in the 70s, because it is a reflection of the times, was really pretty dark. You know, they're not even anti-heroes. They're just... It's really kind of depressing, a lot of those movies. So we're going to move into the 80s. That's where we're going to start. So we'll have a few seasons of that coming up. I know we've only been recording for about 35 minutes so far, but that's really all I've got right now, except one big thing. Isn't it time that we get a classic characters Avengers-type movie that you start building up in a serious manner, not in a pop culture manner, a serious manner? You have a Robin Hood movie, you have a King Arthur movie, and these things all take place roughly in the same time period. That you start building these guys up so you have something really cool. These characters, you can have Tarzan in there because that's public domain now. How cool would that be that we get movies of these classic characters all living in the same rough time frame? You can make it work. I think that would be pretty cool.
Right, so I'm just trying to figure out exactly how this would work, because obviously
you start with Robin King Arthur, right?
Who wasn't real.
No, we're not talking about real people, idiot. Tarzan wasn't real, and neither was Robin Hood.
But the time of King Arthur was a different time to the time of Robin Hood to the time.
No, that's what I'm saying. You can make it work. I mean, Robin Hood is just an archer. At the end of the day, who robs from the rich and gives to the poor. It doesn't matter what time frame that is. What, there wasn't land robber barons back in King Arthur's time? I'm sure there were. But it doesn't matter, because it's all fictional anyway. So you start with a King Arthur movie, right? And he is eventually going to be the bad guy for everything. But in the first movie, so who would be the... You know,
you're going to make King Arthur the bad guy.
Yes, he is going to be Dr. Doom. He's going to be Thanos, yes. Because he becomes corrupt, yep. Merlin is going to corrupt him. Him and Merlin are going to be the bad guys. So, but the first movie is him taking the throne, and you're rooting for him, right?
Well, yeah, but you know how he takes the throne?
Yes.
He pulls a sword out of a stone. It's not much of a movie.
Well, they've had like 500 of them, so I'm pretty sure we can come up with some ideas.
I mean, I think that's my problem with King Arthur, is it's been a little bit overdone. None of these movies have been particularly successful, but there was a movie a couple of years ago with Charlie Hunnam, I think, as Arthur.
Yeah, it was bad. I watched it.
Yeah, but I think that's the problem with starting with Arthur. I think they're all bad.
But you start with Arthur because you're going to turn him into a bad guy. He's a good guy at first, although he does a few questionable things to set it up, right? And you have a guest appearance of Robin Hood in that movie.
As an Englishman,
yes.
Arthur, despite being fictional, is virtually one of our national heroes. I take offense with that.
No, we can rename him George Washington for all I care.
I was going to say, let's find a nice historical American and make him the bad guy.
No, that's fine with me. That's fine with me. I have zero problem with that. You set him up as going to be the bad guy. Right.
King Arthur didn't have any slaves, bastard.
So in the second movie, and it's you see his policies come into play, that he's being manipulated somewhat by Merlin, and magic is real, by the way. And that's when Robin Hood comes in. And during Robin Hood is when you hear a story of Robin Hood's sister who disappeared into the wild. And that's where Tarzan comes in. So you start connecting all of these characters, and they're going to fight. Or maybe it's not King. Maybe it's Merlin. Maybe Merlin is actually the bad guy.
I think a female Tarzan is...
No. That's just his mom.
But I think Tarzan is such a stretch, because they didn't even know Africa existed.
I didn't say it was Africa.
Well,
I said in the wild.
in the wilds.
Yeah, the wilds of Manchester. Of where? Yorkshire? Yeah, the wilds of Manchester.
You need. Britain never really had any wild animals. Britain's animal population are kind of like British people. They're a little bit tame, a little bit naff, a little bit polite. Yeah, we don't have animals that just come along and murder you like a bear or a lion or anything like that. We have animals that come along and go, I'm hungry, do you mind? Can I have a nibble? No. Terrible weather we're having. Do you mind if I have a bite?
Did you say nipple? Or nibble? Nibble. Okay, I was a little worried for a second there.
Well,
what the hell are you guys doing with your animals?
I mean, depending on what certificate you're going for, you could go for, can I have a nipple?
You could bring Frankenstein into it.
Frankenstein? What, that famous German character?
Yeah. But somehow...
Wasn't a League of Extraordinary Gentlemen basically what you're trying to say?
Shut up.
It's been done.
Yeah, it was done badly.
Alan Moore's going to hear this. He's going to sue your ass because he hates it when people rip off his properties and do a bad job with them.
I think he's got other problems right now.
I think he does.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a little bit tired of the world building, to be honest, in movies.
You're tired of the world building, but you just suggested a world building.
Yes,
idea.
Yes. Done well. That's the difference.
Makes total sense. Total sense.
Turn everything on its head.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. I'm down for it. I think we need a movie series around the MyMac universe.
It's so difficult to do, and it stretches for such a long period of time.
Yeah. But there's so many wild characters.
Yeah. It was funny because you guys were talking about, you know, the history and stuff, and the geekiest show ever that Elisa and Melissa are doing now.
Yep.
It actually went through, like, two other types of co-hosts as well that you guys completely forgot about. But that's how long that show has been running. I mean, it's been going on a very long time.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Well, I forgot about them all because they're all competition and they are dead to me.
Yeah. There you go. So with that, we're going to wrap up this episode of the Geeks Pub. It's a little bit shorter this week, but that's okay. I've got to go lick my wounds from the Lions getting bumped in the playoffs, and I'm really not happy about it. Plus, it gives me a little bit more time to watch Gladiator 2, right?
It's on streaming already, is it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it seems like nowadays everything hits streaming almost immediately. It's in the movie theaters, and then boom, on streaming. It's like, you know what? We just spent all this money on advertising. Let's get it to streaming as soon as possible before someone forgets about it.
God forbid somebody might pay to watch it.
Well, I mean, streaming is you pay for it. It's the rental.
Yeah, but it's not the same, is it?
No.
It's just not the same at all.
Everybody keeps talking about Wicked right now, and they're like, have you seen Wicked? No, I don't have a lot of estrogen in my system right now. So, well, I think we know who the demographic of that movie is, and it isn't 50-year-old guys. Am I wrong?
Know plenty of 50-year-old guys who are big Ariana Grande fans, but not for the reasons of her voice.
No. I think she looks terrible myself. Every time I see her in an interview, I'm like, she's like a talking skeleton.
I know, she's so thin. It's just like give that girl a sandwich.
Oh my God!
You know she is. Yeah, she. You're absolutely right. She does not look well.
No, she looks very unhealthy. She looks like the burnt person that Jim Carrey used to play. I mean, she's got a wonderful voice. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then I see the lady who plays the Wicked Witch in a dress, and I'm like, holy crap! I don't want to see your bones. Eat a sandwich. Oh, it's just awful. That's the
Ozempic aesthetic now, unfortunately.
It has been forever.
Yeah, but now they have an easy way of doing it, rather than all that awful not eating and dieting thing and exercising thing. Now they just take an injection.
Oh, is that what they do?
Yeah, that's what they do. It just suppresses your appetite. It's gross stuff.
They look terrible.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
There you go.
And this is what two fat guys in their 50s say.
Like they give a damn what we think.
Might be the title of the show, Two Fat Guys in Their 50s. All right, man. I will see you in a week on TechFan.
Okay.